You know what that means? That sieve, that what they would do is that they would put the wheat in this sieve and they would shake it, and all the loose stuff would fall through. And then they would throw the wheat as it sat on the sieve. They would put the wheat on the side, and then they would just, the rest of it that was laying there, they would just throw it up in the air and it would blow away. Jesus told Peter, that's what Satan wants to do to you. Satan wants to use conflict in your life to sift you and blow you away like wheat.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of How to Receive Criticism from our series, Heads with Other Saints. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How to Receive Criticism.
As we see the ram there, nature provides a fitting illustration of how we as people are sometimes. That we are like these rams. That sometimes we get in conflict. And the sad thing is that, you know, oftentimes, as it is here, that the situation can be devastating. It can bring about death, it can bring about injury, and even if nothing else, we can see here that these ram, as they come together, they can lock horns. And then just begin to struggle with their heads locked up with one another. Conflict. If you have notes this morning, you will see I put a statement in there that opens up like this. Conflict can be a victorious battle where all sides win, and we're going to talk about that today, or it can be an unending war where neither side wins. My. Conflict can be a victorious battle where all sides win, or it can be an unending war where neither side wins. What is conflict? Conflict is an opposition between people or forces that gives rise to ill will or destructive actions and destructive actions. Let me read that again. Conflict is opposition between people or forces, opposition. Remember those ram? What were they doing? They were in opposition to one another. But for human beings, it can give rise to ill will and destructive actions. Where do wars come from? Wars come from conflict. And look at the result of wars in this world. People are killed. Hundreds, thousands of people are killed. Land is destroyed. Property is destroyed. And why is it? All because of conflict. What are some characteristics of conflict? First of all, we see that conflict is unavoidable. It's unavoidable. Everybody at some point in time will have to deal with conflict. I don't care who you are. Everybody, you know, just as I've said about a lot of things we've been dealing with in this series, just put it in your mind and be ready that at some point you're going to have to deal with conflict. If you think that you're going to live a life free from conflict, then you better wake up and smell the coffee, because I got another thing to tell you, and it's some bad news, and that is at some point in time, you're going to have to deal with conflict. And the bad thing is about conflict is not only is it unavoidable, but it's unfortunate. And why is it unfortunate? Because it leads to ruined lives and relationships. Conflict, if we don't handle it the right way, it leads to ruined lives and broken relationships. Conflict is unhealthy. Again, when I say these things about conflict, I'm saying them because I'm trying to point out that this is conflict that is handled the wrong way. When we mishandle conflict, these are some of the results of it. Now, hopefully this morning, we want to talk about how we can handle conflict the right way. But when we mishandle it, it's unfortunate, and then it's unhealthy. Unresolved conflict takes a toll on a person's body and their health, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Conflict is unhealthy. Again, if we channel it the right way and deal with it the right way, then it turns into something positive. But when we don't, then it becomes unhealthy. Conflict is unlimited. That is, it knows no limitations. It affects marriages. It affects families. It affects friends. It affects employees. And it affects even, it even affects the saints. I don't care who you are. At some point in time, in your family, you know, my wife is not here this morning. She's in New Mexico, so I can say a lot of things because she's not sitting. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm sure if you were to talk to my wife in the home of Pastor Glaze, who was sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, right, that there are times of conflict. There are times where her and I don't agree. And as the song said, there ain't no good guys, there ain't no bad guys. It's just you and me, and we just disagree. And so a lot of times, even in the home, you know, there is conflict about how to do things, about how situations are taking place and being acted out. So conflict is unlimited. Conflict is unpleasant, and that is, it is very distasteful and ugly when it gets out of hand. It's distasteful and ugly when it gets out of hand. Conflict is unprofitable. Again, I'm talking about mishandled conflict. When there is no resolution to conflict, it becomes fruitless. If conflict takes place and there's no resolution to the conflict, then it is absolutely unprofitable. It is fruitless. And then conflict is unsavory, and that is, it brings out the worst in people. Some of the most godly saints, if they mishandle conflict, the worst will be brought out. You might say, wow, I thought that was a super saint, right? But sometimes the saints ain't. So conflict can be unsavory. What are some sources of conflict? Well, first of all, Satan. You know, there's nothing that Satan desires more. We talked about discouragement last week. But there's nothing that Satan desires more than to have people in conflict. You know, Jesus was talking to Peter one day, and Peter was bragging about this, and he was bragging about that. And Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. You know what that means? That sieve, that what they would do is that they would put the wheat in this sieve and they would shake it, and all the loose stuff would fall through. And then they would throw the wheat as it sat on the sieve. They would put the wheat on the side, and then they would just, the rest of it that was laying there, they would just throw it up in the air and it would blow away. Jesus told Peter, that's what Satan wants to do to you. Satan wants to use conflict in your life to sift you and blow you away like wheat. Conflict often comes because needs are unmet. In Acts chapter 6, we see where there was a problem. The Grecian believers and the Hebrew believers, well, you know, they were taking care and they were feeding the Hebrew believers, but there were some problems with the Grecian believers, and so there was this conflict between the two groups. And sometimes when we have needs that go unmet in our life, maybe in a marriage, a wife needs emotional support from her husband. The husband may have some physical needs that is evident in the relationship. And these needs go unmet. So what happens? There begins to be conflict. You know, there's sometimes that, I'll just say, you know, I know in my relationship with my wife, that sometimes something will be wrong. And I'll have no idea that anything is wrong. But it'll be evident by the way that my wife responds or the way that she treats me. That's right, clueless. And so sometimes she just got to tell me, look, there's an issue right here, because I'll miss all the signs. Unless you think that it's just the other person's problem, especially in the marriage, you know, I'm reminded of this song. It said, if something is wrong with my baby, then something is wrong with me. All right? And so a lot of times when needs go unmet in relationships, that causes conflict. A third thing is incompatible goals. Yeah, you remember when the mother of James and John went to Jesus and she said, when we come into your kingdom, when my sons come into your kingdom, let one sit on your right hand and one sit on your left hand. Well, that sounded pretty good. I mean, that's a good request coming from a mother, right? But what's the problem? You got 10 other guys here, and they got a little tight in the jaws. They got a little attitude. Well, who are they to think that they should sit on the right or the left hand? And so sometimes we might have goals, and if our goals are incompatible, if we're going in two different directions, then what happens? There's conflict. Even sometimes in ministry, if somebody thinks a thing should be done one way and somebody else thinks it should be done another way, then what do you have? You have incompatible goals, which leads to what? Conflict. Put those Rams back up there again. Leads to conflict. If I think we should do this in the ministry and you think we should do that in the ministry, then what happens? We butt heads. If I think we should do this in the marriage and you think we should do that in the marriage, we butt heads. If I think we should raise our kids this way and you think we should raise our kids that way, we butt heads. And so conflict arises from incompatible goals. Sometimes conflicts arises from personality differences. In the book of Philippians, we read about two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche. And these ladies, now watch this, both of these ladies labored with Paul in the ministry. That when Paul was going and witnessing and leading people to Christ and building churches, that these two ladies were right there in the midst of ministry with the Apostle Paul. What more could you ask for other than to be with Jesus Christ? What more could you ask for than to minister with the Apostle Paul? And so here are these two ladies minister with the Apostle Paul. But something happened, and we don't know what happened. The scripture is very clear that there was a problem that arose between the two of them. And Paul writes in Philippians, and he said, for the gospel's sake, he said, for the sake of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, he said, for the sake of the glory of God, somebody sit down and work with these two ladies and help them work through this situation so that we can see the ministry of Jesus Christ flourish and continue on. Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, personality conflicts. Sometimes there's difference of opinion. Paul and Barnabas were traveling doing missions work, and Barnabas thought that they should take Mark, and Paul said, well, we don't need to take him. Now look, wow, this is deep. This is really deep. Two people that sang in the choir, right? Paul and Barnabas, side by side. They were going and they were spreading the gospel. They were telling people about Jesus Christ. They were leading hundreds of people to Jesus Christ. They sat on the deacon board together. They sat on the trustee board together. They were ushers together. They served in community ministry together, Paul and Barnabas, loved the Lord, prayed together, had devotions together, read scripture together, witnessed together. And now they got a problem. And the Bible says that the contention between the two of them was so sharp. What does that mean? That there were some serious arguments that they got into. That the contention between them was so sharp that Paul and Barnabas split. Like David Ruffin in The Temptations, just couldn't hang anymore. Like Sly and the Family Stone, just couldn't work it out. And they split, no longer ministered together because of the conflict that was there. And then we see, finally, another source of conflict is pride. That Peter was leading Gentiles to the Lord. And he was sitting down eating pork chops and ham sandwiches and chitlins and hog maws. And he was eating all these things with the Gentiles, right? And then some Jewish brother came. And Peter said, no, I don't mess with that stuff, man. He said, no, I don't eat pork, man. I'm not going to fellowship with y'all anymore, man. I can't. And the Bible said when Paul came, he looked Peter up. And he rebuked him to his face. He said, Peter, you're wrong. He said, you're dead wrong. And so here, the two greatest saints in the church, Peter and Paul, they had some issues. So who are we to think that we are not going to have any issues? Now, the issue comes as to how do we deal with the problems when they come our way. Well, let me tell you some inappropriate ways to handle conflict. And this is John Maxwell. He gives us a couple things here. These are inappropriate ways to handle conflict. Shoot out at the OK Corral. And that is the winner takes all. You know, we're going to have a shootout, and whoever wins takes it all. All right? Hear no evil, see no evil. And that is ignore its significance. Let's just sweep the conflict under the rug and act like it's not even here. Yell uncle, and that is wave the white flag. Okay, you win, right? Rank and serial number. That some people use their position and they hire a hitman, right? I'm this and I'm that, so we're gonna do it like this. So instead of dealing with the conflict, you know, they use their position, rank and serial number. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, and that is you whine over it. That whenever conflict comes, you just go around whining. Oh, woe is me. Woe is me. Nobody knows the sorrow I've seen. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Tiptoe through the tulips, and that is wade around it. Peace at any price. Peace at any price, and that is to walk away from it. And I must confess that generally, this is especially in my relationship with my wife, this is kind of my attitude. And I know that it's not right. I know that it's not right. But you know, sometimes, and my wife, she lets me know. She said, "Man, you know, it can't be peace at any price. You know, we got there's something we got to talk about. We got to work through." I thank God that He's blessed me with a wise lady, because you know, I really don't like conflict, and I'll do anything I can to avoid conflict. But I thank God for my wife, because she brings me to the reality you can't do that. You know, you can't do that. If there's conflict, you know, you need to deal with it. And I praise God, because there's something that happened before she left to go to New Mexico. That if I would have kept quiet, it would have been real bad. It would have been real bad. And I spoke up, and my wife said, "See, this is why it can't be peace at any cost. You know, if you wouldn't have said this, then it would have been real bad. I'm not gonna tell you what it was, but it'd been real bad." It's my turn, and that is keep score. All right, you won this one, but I'm going to win the next one. All right, you won two, now I got to win two. He said, she said, and that is to blame the other person. So these are inappropriate ways to handle conflict. Inappropriate. All right. So if you have been in a conflict, or if you are in a conflict and you're handling it like this, this is inappropriate. Now, before I go and talk about how we handle conflict, let me tell you some of the benefits of conflict. Because, see, again, conflict is inevitable. Conflict is going to come in our lives. And so we need to realize that we got to deal with it, and there are benefits from conflict. Benefits? What benefits, you ask? Well, I'm getting ready to tell you. First of all, there's growth. That you grow from conflict. And you know, I don't know why it is that people go through conflict and they come out on the other side of the conflict a spiritual shrimp. If you go through conflict, on the other side of that conflict, you should come out a little bit buffed. You should come out with some spiritual muscles, flexing. But a lot of people go through conflict and they come out, you know, just dragging their feet and with their heads down. Man, when you come through conflict, you ought to come out with your foot on the mountain, your chest out, and your cape flying in the air. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into conflict. He says various trials, but conflict. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Two words that we see here. The word perfect and the word make entire. What does that word perfect mean? You know what it means? Mature. That conflicts should cause you to become mature. And he also says to make us entire, and that is fully developed in every area. So when we go through times of conflict, that we should come out on the other side of the conflict mature and fully developed. We shouldn't come out after 18 years of life still lying in the crib, whining and calling for a bottle of milk. But after 18 years, you come out independent, strong, able to eat a steak and some vegetables. But why is it that Christians go through conflict and they come out like the little baby in the crib, whining and complaining and asking for their bottle, instead of coming out mature and strong and developed in every part? Second thing is that another benefit of conflict is change. Conflict lets us know that something needs to change. Now, I'm not a proponent of going in looking for things to change. But if there's a conflict, then that lets us know that something needs to change. And we need to, I'm going to talk about it here in a second. At that point, we need to sit down and talk about what needs to change. In Acts chapter 6, there was a problem between the Grecian Hebrews and the Greeks and the Hebrews and the widows. And there was a problem because one was getting fed and the other one wasn't. Well, that was cause of conflict. So what? Something needed to change. And what came out as a result of that?
Thank you for joining on, and Kurt and Jesus, tune in next time for the conclusion of How to Receive Criticism. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How to Receive Criticism, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Receive Criticism. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.